At least I think that's what TD used to say. I haven't watched TD in a long time. Well, October, here we are. Scotty, you're feeling what I'm feeling. Hey, I hope you stop out at the front there, one per family. There is a voting guide. The election's coming up, and so we wanted to help and give you some information so that you would know how to vote. And again, people say, well, I just, you know, vote Bible. That's what you want to do. Just vote Bible. Vote for the candidate that is, I mean, you don't have to go on vacation with them, you know, but if they're standing more for the Bible, that's how you vote, really. It is up to us. We have been given that privilege and right to do that. So we're excited about the future of not only this church, but our country. And how many know that we win? You know, no matter, you might be like, man, this is, it. Maybe it doesn't seem like it's getting any better, but I tell you, in the end, we're going to be on streets of gold, aren't we? Woo! I don't even have to be Elmer Fudd and own a mansion and a yacht. It's going to be a good thing. I want to wish a happy birthday to my son-in-law. He's back in the back. He's the one that did announcements. He probably didn't tell you it was his birthday. I couldn't hear back there, but yeah, he's just an amazing, he takes great care of our daughter, and we love him, and so I pray he has a happy birthday today. And Addie, Scott's daughter, 17. Whew. Yeah, she's been driving for a year, so you're still here, we're safe. We're good. All good. Oh, today is Christian's birthday. He's 18. Oh, wow. Yeah, happy birthday to everybody there, yeah. Well, I hope you enjoyed Pastor Gary last week. PK and I watched it and listened to it, and it's just great to have a wonderful friend and headship like that, and have that shout out, and that's just amazing. And so him and Pastor Drinda, we love them, and they're so supportive, and they love True Life. And at the end of the service, if you watched it, he said, now we're going to be coming to see you there pretty soon, so he knows we've been trying to schedule it for a long time, so it was nice to hear him say that. I'm like, yes! So all good, but it's great to know somebody and see results and know that they have fruit in their life. And, you know, have you ever met people that as you love them, but as you're talking to them, you're kind of saying to yourself, sometimes, and I've met people where I've been at work and had different jobs, and I mean, they're good people. I don't mean it bad, but they're blowing smoke. You know, it's just like, you know, I don't know that I, you know, they've always done everything better than whatever. And you just, I remember when Pastor Gary and I started being friends and we were talking, we were having lunch and we went to their house. They came to our house. And we stayed till 3 a.m. That kind of, and we started hanging out together and stuff. I remember looking at him and he was wanting to hear my questions because I grew up in the church. First as a Methodist, as you'll hear in some of this message, and went to the Pentecostal move of that. Well, not move of the Methodist, but Pentecostal move. But the Fellowship of the Assemblies of God, and there was a lot of, just stuff in everything. You know, it's just when people get involved, we tend to get involved. And sometimes that's good, sometimes not so good. But still, I remember looking at him, thinking to myself, and I was telling my son last night, he had come to our house. By the way, getting here in about 10, 12 minutes is wonderful. I mean, PK and I got here, I'm like, and we're here. So it was pretty awesome. But, you know, I was, because Pastor Gary is his pastor, and Sam is on staff there full time, works in their media departments on the praise team. And matter of fact, Mom, just to let you know, he said, I want to start playing at church at TLC every once in a while, if I could. And I said, I know Mal would be like, yeah, because he is a dynamite, awesome bass player. He's what we started with, but just phenomenal. And he's got to play for different things. God's opening him great opportunities. Anyway, I said all that to say, I remember looking at Pastor Gary and he was talking to me. I thought to myself, I was looking at his eyes and I said, he's telling me the truth. Everything he's telling me, he actually believes is truth. Now, I didn't know that I believed what he was telling me, but I knew he believed it, and he had seen results and was telling me the results. And the more that we became friends, the more I got to know him, I got to see the results. I've hunted on his property several times. Every time I've gotten a deer on his property. The last time I went, he had said, what are you getting today? You know, so now I'm talking to Dr. Faith. He comes out. I'm getting out of my car. I'm getting my gun and going to go. He was going to tell me where this deer stand was. And he said, I'll take you there. I'll walk back there with you. Okay, what are you getting today? I didn't want to tell him because what if I'm wrong or what if I wasn't, you know, doing everything right or whatever, you know. So there's part of me and the enemy just, you know. So I just told him, I'm like, I'm not going to be afraid. I love Psalm 118:6. You'll have to look it up because I can quote it for you. But anyway, it's one of my favorite scriptures. But we went out there. Well, I told him, I said, I'm getting an 8-point today. And he reiterated that to me. He goes, you're getting an 8-point today. And I said, yep, today, an 8-point. So he said, okay, I'm in agreement with you. And so we went out and he put me in the spot. And the rest is history. I won't go into the whole story, but that day I got an 8-point. And so he was just like, okay. And I mean, it was just, it's amazing. 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side, I do not fear, just so you know. So if you're like, oh, I got to look that up. I love that scripture. But just finding that and finding truth and then finding results in work, isn't that what we want? Kim and I are going to do the best we can to show you, and I'm just telling you as I'm saying right now, we are on the brink of an outbreak here in a good way because results are already starting to happen and more results are coming, and there's going to be people coming and flooding here because of the voice of God, because of he wants to use you and he wants to use me, but because of his presence, and people are getting answers, and that's what we want. Isn't that? I don't want to play church anymore, do you? So we're talking about the listening ear. Let's say hi to our online crowd. God bless you. We've established a few things. We've talked about the importance of hearing God's voice, and it's for everybody. And God wants to have a relationship with you. He's talking. It's not just for super saints. It's for every believer. And we have to seek the Lord with all our heart. And it's not automatic. I mean, it doesn't just happen. You're going to have to go after him. You're going to have to, you know, put some authority and some stuff in your life and put him number one. Jeremiah 29:11, we've talked that scripture. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So as long as we can live without hearing the voice of God, we will. We've determined that. And we don't want that, but isn't that what happens? You just, well, can I still get by? And that's kind of what we do. Can I slide under the door? I'm not saying, okay, let me break that. It's not what we do. It's what we used to do or what we could do, but we don't want that. We want to hear what God is saying. So you need to go to the place where you can seek him until you find him. You know, what's that look? What's that going to be? Is that just you need some time away? Sometimes, you know, like even on vacation, we go to relax. But, you know, there's sometimes you just need where can you just have a few minutes of quiet time? That doesn't be long. Sometimes you're like, oh, I didn't get it all. I need to go. I really feel I need to go back and get some more. So then you make arrangements. Come on, to make that happen. You excuse yourself or you do whatever needs to happen. You knock until it's open. We also said we had to have knowledge. Remember that. We have to know some things. 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you to the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, and his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Notice that's past, has given. That means he's provided for what you need. Your answer, God has already, come on, he's already got your answer, but you have to seek him and go get it. You cannot do it without the Word of God. You need to learn some things. Everybody needs to learn. I'm always going to be in school, and so are you. The Word teaches us how to hear his voice. The last thing we talked about is to be still, that quiet time, just to be still. And I know my son-in-law and my daughter are like, still? What's that? Because they have two excited, energetic boys. And if they wake up, there's no stillness. I asked Justin the other day, we were in Michigan, and Arrow was just asking him question after question. I didn't even hear him breathe. And I said, does he take a breath? And Justin just looked at me and goes, no. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need it. But I mean, he's just, why is that? Hey, why? What's that? And he's like, just watch, buddy, and it'll explain. But, you know, he's just, but guess what? Because he's persistent, he gets his answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? You keep knocking, you keep asking, oh, you're going to get your answer. But you'll need some quiet time. And not just quality time. That's good. We need that. But quantity as well. You might need to take that walk. Or sometimes PK will just say, I'm going on a drive. Which means she's just going to put in a podcast or music. And she's just going to drive for 15, 20 minutes. Maybe to clear her head. Talk to the Lord. Whatever she needs. If she's gone more than that, she's gone more than that. Whatever is needed. You might have to just take charge. John 3:30 says, he must increase, but I must decrease. How many of us practice that? When we put something in our day, do we ever say, will this take away from my time with God? We never look at that. We just, okay, I'll fit that in. And God just kind of gets sandwiched in a little more different, or a little, instead of saying, how will this affect my time with God? That's something that is, you know, just, I got to have that. So all the other stuff is details. I got to have this. So we know God wants to talk to us. We need to seek him. We need to gain knowledge, be still, and know that he is God. John 10:1-5 says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He who enters by the door is the shepherd and the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And this probably, I read the scripture, and that's probably not what most of us are doing. Most believers, we read it, but we don't listen, or at least not to the point that we need to. My 30 years of ministry, I've said, God has told me to do this, or he's asked me to do this, or when he told me, start a church, and he said, here's the name. I didn't know what I was going to call it, but this is what he said, and he gave me the scripture with it. People would ask me, how do you hear his voice? And I know this is a simple answer, and sometimes we try too hard. Do you ever try too hard? You're trying to listen, and you just are like, brain freeze. But the simple answer is, how do you hear it? I listen. I rest. Am I perfect at it? I'm not. Do I have times that I can't hear the forest through the trees? Oh, yeah. I don't like those. But you have to learn how to just rest and go, okay, okay. Take a deep breath. God, what do you want me to do? You see, instead of going to the phone, we should go to the throne. People will answer and say, well, when I ask God stuff, this is all I hear. I hear junk like, you're never going to make it. You're a loser. Why would he tell you to do that? You're this or you're that. So what I'm trying to tell you is most of us don't have any problem hearing the voice of a stranger. We just can't hear the voice of God because we tell ourselves we can't. Well, God doesn't talk to me. Why do you expect to hear him then? You're already declaring. I had people tell me, I just can't hear him. We had people come to, I remember one lady came to PK all the time and said, I can't hear God. He doesn't talk to me. I want him to talk to me. And she said, do you read your Bible? I do. Then he's talking to you. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And there's no fault in the Word. If you are a believer, the simple antidote to this is just believe. Sometimes that's easier said than done. But you, listen to what I'm saying. You can hear his voice. You can. Because we just read the scripture that said you could. So my point is this. If you say you're a believer and you're a Christian, you've given your heart to the Lord, you've asked him to forgive your sins, he's come into your heart, you can hear the voice of God. He declared you could. Because he says, you will know my voice. I will call you by name. So believe. Because you're believing something wrong if you say you can't. He's saying you can. And what we just do the complete opposite, don't we? He says his sheep hear his voice. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. Rod, can I use you today? Rod, yeah, you're the one named Rod. Yeah, you're back in the back. He's looking around like, Rod, is he talking to me? Oh, this is Ron. See, you got off. I'll use Ron. Okay, will you turn around for me? Okay. Can you see? Nope. Okay. Now, can you hear me? Okay. So I want you to hear my voice. Okay, Ron, I want you to turn to your right. I want you to take 5 steps. Okay, I want you to take manly steps now. There we go. Okay, stop. Turn to your left. Take 2 more steps. Turn around the other way. Turn a little more to your left. Take 3 steps. Stop. You can still hear me, right? I'm glad you can hear me, Ron. I want you to tell him to do something. All right. Keep listening to me. Can you hear me now? Turn to your right just a little. Use your voice and tell him to do something.
Take 3 steps back.
I got to ask you a question. Do it again.
Turn to your right.
Okay. Ron, was that me saying that? All right. Let me pray for your ears real quick, and then we'll finish this exercise. Jesus. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your help. Give him a big hand, would you? Thank you, John Strike, for helping me back there. I asked Rod, and Rod goes, hi, hi, hi. Okay, my point was, now he couldn't differentiate my voice from John's voice in the back. And so isn't that kind of, if we're not careful, we'll hear somebody else's voice, and we'll do what they say, but we're not supposed to follow the voice of a stranger. So we have to fine-tune to go, okay, I need to hear the voice of who I'm supposed to. Have you ever told your kids, don't do that? Hey, and they're doing that, and you're like, stop! You have to be able to discern the voice of God because there are other voices out there. Let me even illustrate this a little more. What we're living is not really what God intended this to be. We're living below where he wants us simply because we're not listening. So Kim and I have just found out, I mean, as we have stepped more and more into the kingdom of God and just kind of jumped all in and said, okay, God, instead of reasoning with my natural mind of everything that the world has taught me or religion has taught me or politics or however you want to put it, what is God saying? Because you have to discern in the noises of all of the world, you got to know what the word says. And so listening for the voice, not a voice, the voice. So if like with Ron, and I appreciate Ron, your heart, where, you know, John said, take 3 steps back. He just took 3. If he would have listened closer, and this isn't a crack, it's just, if he would have listened closer, he would have been, that's not PB. That's somebody else. So he should have just stayed put. Because that was the exercise. Just listen to my voice. Let's say you're driving. And everybody knows there's rules. We just drove back from Michigan and found out there's people that don't know the rules. There is a solid line on the road for a reason. If there's a solid line on your side, it means you cannot pass, or you should not. I mean, you could, but it is not advised because there's a hill or a blind spot or something. Do not pass. Do not try to go around. Don't pass go. Don't do it. And there are people that are just like, zoom, zoom. And there are also people that are like, because that's there, we won't go ahead because we can't see what's coming. Right? What if there was a helicopter up there? Don't you love the sound effects?
Brett, you can go ahead and pass. There's no cars coming for 3 miles. Go ahead and pass.
You could be like, sweet, as long as they're telling you the truth. You could be, okay. That's my point is God knows what is coming up ahead. He can tell you what you can do and what you cannot do. He can tell you, you need to get over. Well, the world says I need to stay here. You need to get over. But you have to be able to hear. Because if you don't hear, you're going to miss it. That's the perspective God has. He knows your tomorrow, your hope. He wants to give you the desires of your heart, but you have to trust him. And the way to do that is you have to listen and hear. This is real to believers because God knows what's coming over the hill. You can be, you know, we just walked through this. You understand what people have said, oh, your house, I didn't see it online. It wasn't online. You know how this house happened? I turned a wrong turn, and we drove by what we used to drive by it all the time. I turned by, and I explained it last Wednesday. I'll make it real short. Basically, I just said, we want to buy your house. If you want to sell it to me, that's how I got the house. It wasn't for sale, but I'm living in it now. And it's our dream house. It's just like we're like, you know, we got home yesterday from vacation, and we're going, pinch us, we can't wait to get home. Awesome. He knows what is ahead, but you have to listen and you have to trust him. Your reasonable mind, your five senses could tell you something completely opposite, but you have to go back to what did God say? We have things that he's told us that make zero sense to my natural way of thinking. You know, here at the church, we give away books, we give away t-shirts, we give everything we can away. Why? Because I think that's what he wants us to do. You know, Pastor Gary has a financial company that helps people get out of debt. He doesn't charge for that. Why? Because why would he charge for something if you're in bondage? I get it. You see, the Lord sees what you cannot see. If he tells you to do something, you just need to listen and obey. And I believe one of the reasons that the church is beginning to prosper now is because all of us are listening to the best of our ability and obeying. I'm not just going to say it's just me and PK, because you guys have to listen too. You have to be obedient in what the Lord tells you to do. We have sown as a church. We're going to continue to sow. We're going to send some relief money. I'm going to send it to Faith Life because they're distributing money out for the hurricane. And so our church, I want to get in on that. I want to be able to help people. And so we're gonna help. And I'll just send whatever the Lord tells us. One of the smartest things you can do is hear his voice. And he knows what to do about it. He knows what you're facing. He knows what's coming. So the blessings that you experience are because of God, but it's also because of the listening ear and the obedience doing that. But the power and provision come from him. Once people start following God, their lives start changing. And, you know, I have all kinds of goals for this next year. This year's coming, you know, it's winding up. We're mid-October already. And, you know, we want to do more things that'll just impact more people. But that's happening. We're going to be getting all of that on the schedule. Because now we are, like, going at it with a vengeance, a different way, a different mindset. Instead of, oh, I don't know if we can afford it. It's just like, God, if you want us to do it, let's do it. You see, once you start getting a little bit of the kingdom and you start seeing life happen, you start seeing changes happen, you start seeing things that, like, why? This is, how'd that happen? How did that 8-point show up? How did the 7-point show up? How did this? How did those specific things happen? How did that forerunner show up? How did the house show up? It is the laws of the kingdom. It's, to put it simply, I am no better than anybody. It's just the listening ear and the obedience in doing what it says. What happens when people start getting a little taste of God? It starts out by curiosity. I remember telling Pastor Gary, because what he was telling me was totally foreign. What they taught us, and you know, when I went and got ordained in the assemblies, it was just, that wasn't, faith was just, you know, God was just sovereign. He does what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. But yet God does say what he's bound by his word. And that's not what God, he's sovereign in the sense that he's all powerful, yes. But do you know you have the authority? He gave that authority to you. There are things that can happen and things that will happen if you take authority on either side of that. We hadn't been taught that. It was just, it's easy to blame God. Well, it's just, you know, even insurance companies, that's an act of God. But once your life starts changing, you start saying, why did that happen? Can I get an amen? See, that hear his voice is priceless. I don't want to do something just because somebody else is doing it. I want to make sure it's right, make sure it lines up with the word. And then the Lord is telling me to do that as well. I took over a church in a prominent area on the east side of Columbus in Pickerington. It's a fast-growing, well-to-do area. And I took that over. And they were... literally came from a split at one time, but then they were a photocopy of Brownsville, literally, of the Brownsville revival. The same, they did the flags, everything. It was all Brownsville. And Kim and I went to that revival several times, 4 or 5 times. Awesome revival. But, you know, the pastor that was there is gone, and when God put me there, it's kind of like a new sheriff in town. That's not what he was telling me. Now, did he want a revival? Yeah, God loves that. But just because somebody else is doing it doesn't mean you have to do it. Are you getting it? What's God telling you to do? If somebody else sows $10 or whatever, you're going to sell $10. What if God says, I want you to sell $10,000 or sow $10,000? Well, that's a little different. Okay, well, it might be different, but what's he telling you? That's it. You got to listen to him. So, you know, we made changes, and he told me, I mean, I remember him telling me, he said, take the flags down. They had the flags just like Brownsville. Put them all in a room and make it a prayer room. I thought World War III was going to happen on some of that. People were like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you took the flags down. You are the devil. You need to hear the voice of God. And he speaks in that still, small voice. Think about it. If you're a sheep, could you not hear his voice? Yes, you can. He says you can. The problem is we just don't take time to listen. Most of us don't even want to listen until something's wrong. Then we'll listen. And then when it gets right, then we turn it off again. I sat in a service one day at that church, and I had an XLT Ranger, which I had, you know, dudes that are like, that's not a man's truck. That's a boy's truck. It's not a real truck. Well, it was a truck, okay? But it was a beautiful truck. It was mint, and I loved it. It was great, you know, and I'm like, hey, it'll hold my deer. It's all good. Sat in service, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to give your truck. And he pointed out this young man who was sitting there. He said, I want you to give it to him. I'm like, that's not God. I said, I'm not doing that. I mean, I didn't owe on the truck. I turned to her expecting she was going to back me up. I said, God's telling me to give truck to Brian over there. Nobody named Brian over there, is there? And she didn't even blink an eye. She said, well, you better do it. I'm like, I waited literally 2 weeks of misery. And I'm just like, I'm not giving it. I don't think that's God. No. God, you have to show up in my room, seven angels, and they're going to have to come. And somebody's going to have to give me grapes. And, you know, I'm just making up anything. I'm not giving. And then I was just like, okay, I'll give it. And then he said, because he was quiet, he said, and you are not to take a penny for it. You know, you ever watched The Sandlot? Probably not the proper Christian thing, but I wanted to say, you're killing me, Smalls. So I went up to the kid and said, look, I want to give you my kid. And the kid had been saving. And his mom said, we don't have enough to buy it, but here's $2,400. Would you take $2,400? I'm like, I can't. And I mean, they're like almost crying. I'm like, I just want to give it to you. No, we have to give you money. I cannot take any money for it. And they persisted. And I said, stop it. Just show up at my house and get the stinking title. They showed up at my house. I gave them the title, and again, here come the money. I said, please, go away. I mean, I was not, but I'm just like, ah. So, you know, I wouldn't take anything. They cried, hugged me. I hugged them back. Let the Lord bless. You know, and so I gave away. That was my first vehicle I gave away. And immediately I thought, well, hey, he gives seed to the sower. I'm going to be getting me a new, so I'm going to get a truck. Somehow I'm going to get a truck. It was a year. God was teaching me something. Now, here's the thing. It didn't have to be a year. It was a year because I made it a year. God didn't make it a year. I just wouldn't listen. Does that make sense? So, you know, sometimes we blame God for, oh, he's just, well, like I said, he's teaching me something. Well, yeah, he's teaching me because I'm not learning. He's there. He's ready. I mean, I would have loved to have the Cliff Notes version of that, but I didn't get any of it because I wasn't listening. So eventually got another car. Somebody came up after about a year and said, the Lord told me I'm supposed to give you a car. And so the Lord told me to receive it, so I did. And I'm like, sweet, at least I don't have to walk. This is good. And God said, now turn around and give it to. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he did it. And so I did it. I just like, okay. So I gave it, got another one, gave it. Got a truck. Sell it. Got the money. Do this with the money. Okay. So what I'm trying to tell you is you got to listen because it wasn't the same thing every time. Jesus, you know, ever notice that when Jesus healed people, he didn't do the same thing every time? Let's make some mud pies. Bring your eyes over here. You know, people would be like, that's gross. But if you were blind, you'd be like, right here. Put it right here. And then other people, you know, he's just like, do this, do that. You know, think of the things that God told people. Go dip seven times. Had a prophet go tell the guy, go dip seven times. I don't want to dip seven. I want to dip five. Well, you don't get your healing. Dip seven. Why? Because that's what I want you to dip seven. You know, and there's... You can go to all, seven's a number of completion, seven's a prayer, you know, whatever. But just because he said, your answer is there. If you're already in the water, just dip. You see, what happens is we grow up, we establish patterns of thinking in our mind from the world, just living. And those, some of those, I'm not saying every pattern you have is bad. I'm just saying some of those, you got to break them because they're man-made patterns. And God isn't trying to do things man's way. His ways are higher than that. Have you ever went and got counsel on something and you just kept getting counsel because you're trying to find the right person that tells you what you want to hear? That's like doing your taxes. How should I file? Well, you should file jointly, but, you know, with bars behind your head. You should file. I mean, there are people all have all kinds of... But, I mean, there's... And we'll use the Bible and we'll use it as a crutch. Well, the Bible says there's wisdom in the counsel of many. Does the Bible say that? Yes. And you can get counsel, but what if God is saying, just do this? It doesn't matter what seven other people say if God told you to do this. Do you understand? There's stories in the Bible where God, he told people, when you leave here, this is what I want, or I want you to stay here is what I believe the story goes. I want you to stay here. And people said, well, God told us to, and he told us you could leave and blah, blah, blah. And they get attacked and eaten by a bear. Why? Because God told him to stay put. Doesn't matter if seven other people tell you something. What did God tell you? David heard from God. He had a heart after God. This Philistine's going down. People are like, you are nuts. David's like, no, he can't talk that way. Don't base your answer on your natural senses of everything, just to rationalize everything out. If you knew in the beginning, the Lord told you something. We've all done this. We've all done something. I just did it the other day. For real. I just did it the other day, and I knew the Holy Spirit said, don't do that. It was something in our move to do something. I don't know. I was, you know. And I told Kim, I said, should have listened because he tried to tell me. Oh, it was mowing the yard. Yeah, Rick had to come and pull me out. This is a true story. I hope you're not watching, Tom. But I asked what to do, and he told me what to do. Not God. And God said, I don't think that's a good idea. Brett, I don't think you know that mower well enough. Don't do that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do it. Slid down the hill, buried it right on the side. There's no way that mower's coming. I had to go get Rick in his truck and a tow strap, stop traffic, pull the thing out. Hi, everybody. I'm the new neighbor. Yeah. Larry and Curly are going to be over here soon. We'll be right here. We'll just be putting on a show for you. So, and I told Kim, I said, the Holy Spirit told me, don't do that. Until I was more familiar and knew exactly what was going on. Did I listen? No. We all have been where something we were like, I knew that wasn't going to work. Have you ever done that? I knew it. I knew you weren't supposed to go. You know, whatever. We've all done that. But if we'd listen to that still small voice, we'd find ourselves in a lot better shape. I'd find myself in a lot less embarrassment. You know, I pastored a church up north, and they had a board, and they had a guy in established doing things before I got there, and I met him, and we talked and stuff, and I just had a real uneasy feeling about him, and I didn't want to. You ever done that? You're like, oh, it just must be me, and I just brushed it off, but it would come every time I would. And they, you know, make a long story short, I had approached the board and said, maybe we should not have him lead on Wednesday because I couldn't be there on Wednesday. We hadn't moved there yet. And the board's like, no, I think we're good. So, you know, I'm the new guy and kid on the block, and I'm like, okay. Then come to find out, behind the scenes, he was trying to take the church. And there was just a lot of things going on. And most of the people don't know it. Kim and I knew it. We found out. But it was crazy. And the Lord was trying to tell me early on. And I had to deal with it later. So we did. We dealt with it. And that's actually when PK started playing worship for me. Because his wife used to play worship. And the Lord told me on that Sunday when I found everything out, I had called them in before that, and he was not happy. Matter of fact, I had a witness, and because I did Matthew 18, I did the whole, you know, all that, but I had a witness because there were a lot of things going on. Things had not been paid for months, and he had lied and said they were, and they were about to knock off our utilities and everything. And it just by the Lord, I was at the church, and God said, get the mail. Okay, so I got the mail, and then I opened one of the bills, and it said, you know, it was a shutoff notice. And I'm like, I just asked him, did you get all the bills paid? Because he was the guy doing all that. He goes, oh, yeah, everything's caught up. And the Lord said, check all of them. So I checked all of them, every one of them, ready to be shut off, every one of them. And then we found out he was meeting secretly in another night in his home, and his wife was meeting with the women, and he was meeting with the men, and he was going to take the church. So it was kind of like, almost like a movie. And so I don't try to intimidate people, but I don't get intimidated too easy. So I just called him in, and I got a witness. Well, I actually talked to him, and he denied it all, so I got a witness. And brought him in, and I thought he was going to hit me, but he didn't. And the Lord protected me, you know, but I wasn't afraid, but the witness was. I mean, I couldn't hardly hear anything because his knees were clacking together so bad. But, you know, anyway, to make a long story short, the Lord told me to clear the platform. And his wife looked at me, and on Sunday mornings when the Lord told me to clear the platform. And I told everybody, I said, none of you are going to be up on there. Now, Kim wasn't even up there. But I said, we're not playing today. And this is why. And I remember her looking at me. Now, PK, as always, was standing right beside me. She said, and she worked her neck, who's going to do worship for you now, Pastor? Like that. And PK goes, oh, she's like Wonder Woman. She's like, I will. And I mean, I'm just like, yeah. And so that from that moment on, she became my worship leader. And then when we started this church, she and I, but mostly her, we got all the kids. She just handed Sam, here's a bass, learn it. Zach, here's sticks. He was pounding on everything anyway. You be the drummer. Mal, here's a guitar. I taught her some guitar chords and stuff, and the rest came into being. What I'm saying is listening isn't always the easiest thing to do, and it isn't always comfortable. But following, the results are amazing. You have to trust God. It was the voice of God. God doesn't, listen, he doesn't communicate with you head to head. He communicates with you spirit to spirit. Now, he can give you, he can do an audible voice. I've heard that. And other people have heard that. He can do that. He can show, you can see angels. I've seen, you know, but you don't need a whole lot of faith to have that function when you know you're hearing something. And you know it's God, or you're seeing an angel or whatever, there's not faith, it's just happening, and you're there and you're going, okay. But it takes faith to have the listening ear. It takes faith to walk with him every day. It takes faith to hear the still small voice and to do the things that he wants. He speaks spirit to spirit. He communicates, yes, through feelings, he created feelings, but not flippy, emotional, woo! I mean, I'm talking about grounded in the word feelings. What does the word say? He'll give you a peace, the word. Is God not the Prince of Peace? And so he'll give you peace, and you follow the peace and the word. Anything God tells you will not contradict the word. If it contradicts the word, it's not God. It's just not. And you're coming into an election. If they are saying one thing, make sure it lines up with this, and that's how you vote. They can look good. They can smell pretty. They can do a waltz. Did I say that out loud? Sorry, not really. He'll give you peace. He'll guide you by discernment. So if you don't have peace, put brakes on. Get the peace that God has. Now listen, when I met Kim, my whole world, yes, changed. But my only ambition, and she can tell you, was by the time I was 30, I was going to be Mr. America. That was my ambition. That's not a good time to laugh. Although I don't look like it now. Take him out, ushers. I'm just kidding. But, you know, I was competing as a professional bodybuilder. I was going to different things, and I was having people pay my way to go in. And you know, I will pay your entry into the contest. And so I was like, sweet. So I was starting to make headway in all of that. And then God changed everything. And I was on I went and saw her on vacation. Her mom and dad were up at Port Clinton, and I went up there, and then God spoke to me audibly when I was up at Port Clinton. And from that point, everything changed. You know, and I decided, God had called me to preach. I remember telling my dad. My dad's probably like, oh, okay, here we go again. Not that I ever told him I was going to preach before, but, you know, as a young man, we all have, I'm going to do this, I'll be that, I'll, you know, whatever. You know, so I don't know what was going to happen. I mean, I was kind of raised Methodist here in town. And then we went to a Pentecostal church because my mom and dad got saved, and I saw them change. And what really got me was because, you know, your parents, you get it, they're your parents. What really got me was my sister. My sister, who's the secretary at Crunch, she got saved, her and Jeff. And Jeff is around, he's probably out front somewhere. But Jeff got saved, and he and her got saved, and that turned my apple cart over. Because, honestly, I would go to their house because they had beer. Now, when I grew up as a kid, my dad had beer because he had a beer tap in the house. And he had an old refrigerator and put a keg in there, and it had the spout. And I had a little glass. I wanted to be like Richie Cunningham. Dad has 72 of these. But, you know, so, I mean, it was just kind of one of those. But then they got saved. All of that went away. It just, everything disappeared. Everything changed. And that was hard enough. But when my sister changed and Jeff changed, I was like, okay, something's going on. And it was my sister who led me to the Lord January 2nd, 1980, at their apartment about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You see, God will use people and how he has worked in their life, and it will affect yours by their testimony. That's why testimonies are so strong. But he communicates spirit to spirit. People have asked me, well, what's that sound like? Okay, you're going to discern when it's God. And God doesn't talk to me like he doesn't, well, he might say, I want you to start a church. Okay. But when I tell her, I might say, God told me to do this, but I'm going to say, I'm going to start a church. Do you understand? I'm not going to speak like, thou sayest, he saith to me, thy shalt start. You know, I'm just... He communicates spirit to spirit, because when you get born again, that's what gets connected to God, is your spirit. You have to understand, so then that's how he's going to communicate. So you will get a thought from God, an impression from God, a peace or not a peace, and you put all that together. Now you have to understand, you have to listen, because the enemy can give you thoughts. People can be used of God or used of the enemy. They can give you thoughts. What is God telling you? Back in the day, before cell phones, we were in ministry in Charlotte. We'd come in to visit Charlotte and Charles. And when we go home, it was an hour and 45 minutes. So when we started this church, it was an hour and 45 minute drive one way. We'd load the kids up like at 5 in the morning. And then we'd come and set everything up. And we'd stay all day and go back. So she would say, well, when you get home, maybe you did this too. We didn't just, hello. We just, because you had to pay long distance charges. So it was just, let the phone ring, and I'll know you got home safe. So we'd get home, and I would dial their number, 382-6075. Remember? And that phone, ring, ring. And then we'd hang up, and she'd be like, kids are home safe. That was our sign. Because we would do that. What's my point? My point was, we didn't have to, there wasn't a whole lot of verbiage that had to happen. She just wanted to know that we got there safe. There's some things that God just wants to tell you. He doesn't want to have to, he just wants you to listen and obey. You know, Young E Cho, one of the largest churches, this way said, how does that happen? I listen and obey. You just listen to what he says. Just do this. Do you know God never loses? He always has a reason. Your spirit has the mind of Christ, and the enemy wants you to dismiss the things God tells you. Oh, that's not God. That's just you. You might want to check that. Because there's a reason. If it's not God, then you won't have a peace about it. But if you have a peace and the enemy's saying, don't listen to that, you might want to check that. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have, what's it say? The mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Oh my. What is that? That is the Holy Spirit of God living inside you that knows everything that you need to know. He's the helicopter, the chopper going over the one-lane road that you don't know whether you can go over or not. Ask the Lord, and he'll tell you, yes, you can, no, you can't. But you have to umpire that. I can't umpire it for you. I mean, I'll compare everything with the Word, and I can give you my opinion of what I discern that would be. But what's God telling you? You have to say, I know this is the Lord, or this is not the Lord. Or if you're not sure, shelf it. Let it prove it out. Use the Word. Start praying. Start listening. He speaks to you spirit to spirit. Here's what I'm finding. God may have already told you the answer. Whatever you're doing or whatever you're facing, you just haven't listened. That's happened to me. I just am not listening because I only want it. Sometimes you ever just want to hear what you want to hear? We just get bent that way. Just tell me something good. Okay. But do you know all things work together for good? For them that love God and are called according to his purpose. That's in Romans 8:28. It doesn't say all things are good. It just says they'll work together for your good. I've got myself in pickles and I just have to, Lord, what do I do? You have to listen. The Bible says he always gives you a way of escape. Have we always taken it? If we're honest, no. Sometimes it's a game of chance in our mind. Well, hey, I hit it right this time. I want to know what I did to hit it right so that I can do it next time. And that's why I loved Pastor Gary, because he would get results. And they weren't just happening every once in a while. They were happening every time. And that was like, you know, he would go and he'd with 100%. I'm like, I don't know anybody that. So I want that. And that caused me hunger to listen. Because if God's no respecter of persons, if he tells Gary, he'll tell Brett. Now, I might not have the same, you know, strategy or plan. My plan may be a little different or whatever because I'm not Gary. I'm Brett. But I have to listen. He has a great plan for you. But he wants to, and he might have already told you, but you're just like, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Heavenly Father,